Good morning, everyone. Welcome to EMP. Let me share my devotion for today. That says, life in this fallen world is hard. That's why you need a community of love. One of the themes that courses through the New Testament and is repeated theme of this devotional is that your walk with God is designed to be a community project. Anonymous, consumerist, isolated, independent, self-sufficient, Jesus and me, Christianity is a distant, distorted facsimile of the faith of the New Testament. You and I simply were not created. It's not good that man should be alone or recreated in Christ Jesus, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. To live all by ourselves. The biblical word pictures of temple stones joined together to be a place where God dwells and body, each member dependent on the function of the other. Decimate any idea that healthy Christianity can live outside of essential community. Yet many believers live their lives with a huge separation between their public church personas and the details of their private existence. We are skilled at brief, non-personal conversations about the weather, sports, and politics. We are learned at giving either non-answers or spiritually platitudinous answers to people's questions. We live in long-term networks of terminally casual relationships. No one really knows us beneath the well-crafted public displays, and because they don't know us, they cannot minister to us, because no one can minister to that which he does not know. Moreover, we think we know ourselves and we think we're okay forgetting the blinding power of sin. That's why church is, for many of us, nothing more than a thing to attend on Sunday. Church is a formal set of activities. Church is a buffet of regularly scheduled, demographically designed religious offerings. Church is a place where music can be enjoyed and sermons can be heard. Church is what connects us to worldwide missions. Church provides wholesome activities for our children, but church isn't an interdependent, web-together community of personally focused love and grace for us all. But the Bible is clear. When each part is working properly, the body of Christ grows to maturity in Christ. We each need to live in an intentionally intrusive, Christ-centered, grace-driven, redemptive community. This community is meant to enlighten and protect. It is meant to motivate and encourage. It is meant to rescue and restore. It is meant to instill hope and courage. It is meant to confront and rebuke. It is meant to guide and protect. It is meant to give vision and sound warning. It is meant to incarnate the love and grace of Jesus when you feel discouraged and alone. It is meant to be a visible representation of the grace of Jesus that is your hope. It is not a luxury. It is a spiritual necessity. The question is, are you webbed in? Amen. Let me just pray. Father, I thank you for your word this morning, for the sharing of the importance of having a community and belonging in that community and being a part of that community in an intentional way. And so, Father, I pray that you would draw us closer to one another, that there would be people that really know us so that they can minister to us. In Jesus' name, amen. And so I really enjoyed this reading because it was a reminder that we were created and designed to be in community with one another. That's why when someone says, all I need is Jesus, it's true, but it's also not true at the same time. You know, he's designed us to be with him and to be with one another, to need one another as well. Because if we really could do life without one another, you could almost say there's no need for church. And some people really believe that as an idea. They don't believe they need church. That's why they don't come on Sunday. They say, oh, I do church at home. It was like, oh, I'll listen to a sermon. I'll do a reading. And I have my relationship with Jesus. So in some way, their idea is that they believe that all I need is God and I don't need other people. But the reality is that God created us to be in relationship to one another and to be in relationship with Him. If not, the Bible wouldn't talk about so much in the New Testament. It appears more than 50, I think even 100 times, the command to love one another. If it wasn't so, then God would just completely, just love me, just love me. But God calls us to love Him and to love one another. And so being in community is such an essential, and I like how the author here, that it's not just a luxury that we get to have, but it's a necessity that we need in our lives. And that he also mentioned here that we need to decimate any idea that healthy Christianity can live outside of essential community. That for us to have a healthy spiritual life, that we need community with others and to be in relationship with one another and for people to really know us. And I like this where he said, because they don't know us, they can't minister to us, because no one can minister to that which he does not know. I like that, that because they don't know us, they cannot minister to us. You know, some of the most frustrating people that I find too hard to pray with are where there's consistently, hey, how can I pray for you? All's good. God's good. I'm all here. I'm blessed. Blessed life. Every week, I'm like, why are you here? if you don't want to go deep and you want to stay where you are and you don't want to share beyond that, there's no point in that. And so there's no ability for me to be able to minister, to know how to pray for you, how to walk with you, if there's no willingness to just say, to open up in some way and say, here is how I need prayer. This is how you can walk with me. But for men, some of us, we find that to be a difficult thing, that whether it be that, oh, we don't really want to bother someone, that we don't want to burden someone else with our burdens, when the Bible tells us to share our burdens so that we may carry each other's burdens. And so here he says that you don't, because they don't know us, they cannot minister to us. And then the last thing here, the author says that it is meant to be a visible representation of the grace of Jesus that is your hope, and that it is not a luxury but a special necessity. That when we are able to minister to one another, that when we're able to show love, grace, mercy, and forgiveness towards one another, it's meant to be a picture of God's grace in our lives. It's meant to be a reflection of who Jesus is in community. But we can't experience the fullness of all of that if we are not in community. I remember when I was taking a break between transitioning between churches and trying to find a church, and I remember it was during COVID, so churches weren't really gathering, or they were starting to gather, but I think just like everyone else, I had kind of gotten used to the fact that I could just watch service online, even though I know it was just a complete distraction, because I just saw it as just another thing I could just put on and then be productive at home as to, let me see what else I could do while listening to the sermon. But really what challenged me to really get back into community was just, it was P-San's message. I don't know if he was speaking on yoga, or maybe he could have been speaking on community around that time. But he said that unless you're in a place of community, you can't grow in love, or you can't grow in peace or patience or kindness or mercy. And the reason is because there's no one to challenge that in your life. Okay, if you live by yourself and you say, I have so much love, I have so much grace, I'm filled with God's grace, I'm filled with God's mercy, but there's no one, and you're not living in a place of community that is challenging that, one, it's not tested. Secondly, it's not growing as well, because only in community does our love and grace and mercy and forgiveness towards one another really grow. And so that was for me one of the messages that for me I was like, okay, I need to find a church, because as much as this is great by myself, it leaves me short of what God has called me in terms of how God has called me to live my life. And so for me, I think of Matthew chapter 26, where Jesus is in Gethsemane, And he tells three disciples to come and to pray with him. And I've always viewed that as such a lesson of Jesus in vulnerability and inviting others into this moment where he knows what is before him, and he invites. He has his 12 disciples, but if you look throughout the Gospels, he even has his even three closer disciples in some way, and he invites them to pray with him, to walk with him during that time. And so I think the question for us to reflect on this morning is, who are you doing life with? And have you just stayed on shallow grounds with them that you don't really share what's going on in your life, that they cannot minister to you? So as we go into a time of worship, let's bring that before God. Maybe for some of us, we don't have that. And maybe this is the push where God is saying, you need to find those people in your life. It doesn't have to be everyone. It doesn't have to be 100 people, but at least who are those three people in your life that can know you and can minister to you? And so as we go into this time of prayer, let's bring that before God. Father, you've called us to be in relationship with you and with one another, and that you reveal yourself through community with one another. And so, Father, who are those people in our lives that you've brought so that they can know us, so they can minister to us? Father, help me find those intimate friendships, those intimate people in my life where I can really be myself and really share who I am, to be able to receive from them, whether it be love, whether it be grace, whether it be encouragement, or whether it be rebuke, because we all need rebuke at some points in our lives as well. That we may not walk this walk with you isolated from the community that you've places in. And so, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, let's worship.
You dance over me.
You dance over me while I am unaware. You sing all around, but I never hear the sound. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you, how you love me.
You dance over me.
You dance over me while I am unaware. You sing all. I never hear the sound. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. How you love me. By you, Lord, I'm amazed by you, Lord, I'm amazed by you, how you love me.
You paint the morning sky.
You paint the morning sky with miracles in mind. My hope will always stand, for you hold me in your hands. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. How you love me. I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. How you love me. How great is your love for me. How wide, how deep, how great is your love for me. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. How you love me.
Let's take it, just let's linger here a little longer and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to each and every one of us. That God knows us. He knows our thoughts. Before a word is spoken, He knows. Who better to minister to us than God and through community? So let's allow His Holy Spirit. If there's a need that you have in your life, allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you right now. Lord, why don't we do community prayer a bit differently today, and maybe just find another person that you could pray with, if maybe in two groups of two, and if someone's by yourself, just find another group and just in that group just say, hey, this is Right? We normally say, how can I pray for you? But maybe we practice, can you pray for me for this? So why don't we find someone else that we could partner with and just pray and pray for one another and minister to one another. If God gives you a word, then give them a word. But minister to one another during this time.